GPS users in the U.S. face a new threat to the system. Boeing isn't worried about Airbus's A320neo. And TechNam delivers another of its new twins in the U.S. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, February 4th, 2011. 2 years ago, there were folks in the aviation community who pointed out that doing away with the ELORAN navigation system was short-sighted, that it should be preserved as a backup for critical applications in case GPS was jammed, which is not that hard to do. But amid all the things Congress seems to find money for, and despite warnings that GPS is vulnerable, ELORAN couldn't find any fans and is being decommissioned. Since that decision, there has been trouble with GPS approaches at some airports near major highways, caused by intentional jamming of GPS by truckers using $30 devices obtained over the internet. It seems some drivers like to defeat the tracking systems on their trucks that tell the home office where they're stopping, and the highly illegal jammers have more power than is needed to do that job. Now, the latest threat to the integrity of the system comes from our own Federal Communications Commission. Frequencies for services like GPS are chosen so that there won't be any high-power transmitters on nearby frequencies. That allows receiver manufacturers to design less expensive filtering into consumer gadgets like TomToms and TVs, based on the assumption that they won't have to deal with strong interference. GPS signals from the satellite constellation are so weak that receivers use preamplified antennas and advanced digital processing to literally pull them out of the noise. Well, now the FCC has decided to waive its own rules and allow a company called Light Squared to deploy terrestrial 4G wireless service on L-band frequencies, which were supposed to be kept clear of powerful signals to protect GPS. The new wireless service will use transmitters with outputs of 40,000 watts. A report on the GPS World website, to which both Garmin and Trimble contributed, found that a Garmin GNSS-430W lost its fix in open sky more than 5 statute miles from one of the transmitters, and interference was detected at nearly 14 statute miles. And because the interfering transmissions are technically not right on GPS channels and will be authorized by the commission, the FCC will expect the GPS manufacturers to, quote, work expeditiously and in good faith with Light Squared to ameliorate the interference concerns, unquote. We won't have to wait long to find out how serious a problem this is for aircraft. Light Squared hopes to have its 4G wireless network up and running by June 15th. Just hope there's not a transmitter coming to a site near your airport. Boeing executives said Monday they see no reason to cut the price of their 737, even as Airbus gets ready to roll out the A320neo. While Airbus is working to reconfigure the A320 to compete with Bombardier's C-Series and China's Comac C919, Boeing insists that an all-new plane is more likely how it will compete in that segment, beginning in 2019 or 2020. The Aerospace News blog from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer indicates that Boeing has said it feels no pressure to put the 737 on sale to better compete with the A320neo. In fact, a Boeing official told Dow Jones, the Neo is now just catching up with Boeing's economics. Hey, remember the P2006T? That really neat Technam twin we saw at AirVenture 2009, powered by two Rotax 912s? The flight demo was amazing. The operating costs promised to be sensational for a twin. But everybody wondered whether the typical $500,000 delivery price tag would be seen as a good value. Well, buyers are coming forth. Ocean Air Flight Services in the San Francisco Bay Area took delivery of the first customer P2006T in November. Now, Airline Training Solutions, based at Craig Airport in Jacksonville, Florida, has received the first of what it says will be 10 P2006Ts coming to its flight line. Hayden Malone, Program Director for ATS, says his company's planes will come with steam gauges. That saves about $60,000 a copy at list price, in order to stress basic flying skills over reliance on technology at first. He explains that after students earn their commercial and instrument ratings, they'll have the opportunity to take part in actual revenue flights with Malone Air Charter, flying Cessna Citations or a Beechcraft King Air B-200, both of which will have glass cockpits. ATS reports that on the ferry flight to bring its first plane home to Jacksonville from Richmond, Virginia, the P2006T burned 10 gallons per hour. That's total, not per side. My guest on today's special feature is Dave Labor of Technam North America. We'll talk about this interesting aircraft. Up next on ANN, small cabin models should lead the bizjet recovery. Pratt & Whitney signs a deal to provide at least 50 engines. And you now have a new option for radar maintenance. You're listening to Aero News.
Piper Jet.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back for more of your Aero Briefing for February 4th. I'm Paul Plack. If you're with PETA, cover your ears for a moment. In his most recent outlook, General Aviation Analyst Brian Foley says he sees the bizjet industry now poised to experience a nice growth spurt, albeit from an extremely depressed base. He likens the situation to what investors call a dead cat bounce, or a sharp, rapid upturn following a particularly severe decline. Foley anticipates that business jet deliveries will grow at an average of 8% per year over the next 5 years, led by growth of as much as 20% per year in deliveries of small cabin biz jets, which have suffered of late far more than larger planes. Quote, "This is very positive news, but let's keep it in perspective. It does not imply runaway growth so much as a bounce from unimaginable low delivery levels," unquote. Pratt & Whitney says it has secured 50 firm orders and up to 50 options for pure-power geared turbofan engines on new Mitsubishi regional jet aircraft ordered by Transtates Holdings as part of a contract announced on Tuesday. The agreement represents 100 firm PW1200G engine orders for the aircraft, with 8 spares and options for up to 100 additional engines, with deliveries scheduled to start in 2014. Transtates Holdings has also reportedly signed an exclusive 12-year maintenance contract with Pratt & Whitney. Todd Coleman, president of Pratt & Whitney Commercial Engines and Global Services, notes, quote, "We now have more than 600 PW1000G engines on order when options are exercised," unquote. Aviation Specialties Unlimited, which maintains its U.S. headquarters in Boise, Idaho, reports receipt of an STC from the FAA for modifications to the cockpit of the Twin Otter DH-6 to make it night vision compatible. ASU founder and CEO Mike Atwood notes the company also has an STC for the C-208 Caravan and the C-212, and 14 more for rotorcraft. Rampart Aviation of Franklinton, North Carolina, which describes itself as an industry leader in short takeoff and landing aircraft procurement and leasing, is a fan of ASU's work. Rampart President Greg Farrenbrook commented, quote, "I cannot say enough about the quality of the installation work that ASU performed," unquote. Rampart operates a fleet of DH-6s for parachute lift support, aerial geophysical survey, specialized contract work for government agencies, and passenger charter flights. Mid-Continent Instruments is now in the weather radar business, including calibration, overhaul, repair, and exchange. The company's adding equipment and employees. Mid-Continent says it now offers factory-level support on legacy equipment, beginning with Bendix King radars, the receiver and transmitter in the RDR 2000 and 2100 digital weather radar systems. The capability for RDS series weather sensors, receivers, and transmitters for other solid-state weather radar systems in the product line will follow. The company's advanced environmental chamber can test at temperatures between minus 55C and plus 77C and simulate altitudes to 55,000 feet to properly test for RF arcing. Tom Genovese, director of sales for Mid-Continent Instruments, adds, quote, "Exchange units are in stock, ready to ship the same day an order is placed," unquote. Still ahead, Kepler finds more planets. The big snowstorm crushes a hangar in Massachusetts. And there's bad news and good news for Palm Springs balloonists. You're listening to Aero News.
Now,
Another moment of freedom from Cirrus Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, February 4th. I'm Paul Plack. NASA reports its Kepler mission has discovered its first Earth-sized planet candidates and its first candidates in the habitable zone. That means where liquid water could exist on a planet's surface. Those candidates require follow-up observations to verify that they are actual planets. Kepler also has reportedly found six confirmed planets orbiting a sun-like star called Kepler-11. This is the largest group of transiting planets orbiting a single star yet discovered outside our own solar system. The findings, which were released on Tuesday, increased the number of planet candidates identified by Kepler to date to 1,235. How strong is your hangar? Six airplanes and a helicopter were inside a Swift Aviation hangar at Norwood Airport in Massachusetts when the roof gave way Wednesday morning under the weight of several inches of snow, followed by heavy rain. Officials say that two of the aircraft are probably total losses. The Norwood transcript and bulletin reports that an employee in a corner office in the hangar was trapped for a short time until others knocked down the door to get him out. Police and fire officials said some of the aircraft were leaking fuel after the roof came down, so a layer of fire retardant foam was laid down as a precaution. Gas lines to the building were also shut off. All of the businesses which have hangars at the airport were notified of the Swift Aviation incident and were advised to exercise caution if they decided to enter their buildings. The lawsuits brought by a California olive grower in the Palm Springs area are getting a bit more absurd. Now, JCM Farming has added a real estate company as a defendant and subpoenaed a couple who were passengers in a balloon operated by Magical Adventure Balloon Rides. The Desert Sun newspaper reports on MyDesert.com that JCM retrieved the names of Magical Adventure's customers through depositions and records obtained by court order. Most local balloon operators have suspended flights to avoid being swept up in what appears to be an ever-broadening lawsuit and to protect their customers. JCM's attorney says they're not trying to shut down all ballooning activities in the area and have no issue with flights above 1,000 feet. But the paper indicates that one operator received an email with a settlement proposal asking him to agree not to operate a balloon over JCM property at any time or at any altitude, and at no lower than 1,000 feet in a large area surrounding the farm. The company says a $10,000 fine would be imposed for every violation and that the balloonist would be prohibited from saying anything negative about JCM, either verbally or in writing. There was no indication of any basis for that fine, since there's no law being violated, and it's not clear what there is to settle. The balloonist has said he would not be signing the agreement. And finally today, it's not often an aviation news service gets to do a story on a lawyer wearing a white hat. It looks like man has finally bitten dog. Attorney Robert Gilliland Jr. of Palm Desert tells the Desert Sun newspaper he was affronted by JCM Farming Incorporated's lawsuits against area balloonists when he read about it in an investigation published by the paper on Sunday. So, he's offered to represent balloonists pro bono in fighting the apparently frivolous attacks. Gilliland says he may also be able to help balloonists who've already dropped out of the lawsuit and signed agreements not to fly over JCM's property. If this is a PR gesture, it's working. Comments posted in response to the story on MyDesert.com are universally in support of the law firm, even those posted by non-aviators, who just enjoy seeing the skies filled with colorful balloons again. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Dave Lubor of Technam North America tells us more about the P2006T Light Twin that has started deliveries in the U.S. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.